Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Northern Ireland hadn't seen a gold medal for 52 years and then four come along at once, and all from different, like Ireland and Great Britain. I think that's really cool.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
The Green Scene.
What's his name again?
With Matthew Brennan.
On Off the Ball.
Happy Christmas, you filthy animals. Ireland football fans. Colin, good morning to you.
Hi, George.
Matthew, how are you? This is the Green Scene that the whole year has been building up to. Mid-season awards.
Mid-season awards, yeah. Well, we've got no kind of individual awards because we're all about team unity over here. But yeah, we've got a team of the half season, I'd call it, or a team of the season so far, based. So this is actually going to be 100% factually accurate team of the season so far, because it's going to be based off of each of the 14 team of the weeks.
You've Excel sheeted this.
No room for debate here. This is Moneyball.
You've outsourced it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I've
to yourself.
I've outsourced the data to myself. Yes, exactly. Exactly that. So,
I wonder, does your data team match your subjective side?
Yeah, well, that will be interesting to find out. I won't spoil the team just yet before we do jump into it. But there was a couple of players that popped up in here that I was a little bit I don't know if surprise is the right word, mm-hmm. but
you play favourites. You've realised now.
My interpretation, because obviously we've been doing like rolling team of the weeks, and more towards the start of the season I was more kind, I'd say, to keeping players in when maybe there could have been a bit more fluctuation. And there's been a lot of fluctuation in the more recent teams that we've put together. And that hasn't really reflected in... Obviously, when the more fluctuation happens, the less appearances someone has in the team. And there's one player in particular here who got a very long run into the team and hasn't been seen in quite a while for one reason or another.
Okay. Well, will we get into it?
Yeah, I'm happy to get into it. We can flash the team up. You can have your... That's it in all of its glory. There.
They've Santa hats on, some of them.
Yeah. We've jazzed up the graphic. We've got some icicles. We've got some Santa hats. No particular rhyme or reason as to why certain players have Santa hats on.
I was going to say, so three players have Santa hats for those who can't see this.
Mm.
And there is no significance there. It's just three got lucky.
I think it might be four. I think Josh Keighley, our goalkeeper, might have one on as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
He might have one on as well.
Yeah. That's four.
Hard to see.
Goalkeeper, centre half, one of the centre mids, and one of the wingers.
Yeah. Really
interesting.
Okay. How do you want me to do this? Do you want me to run
name the team there and we'll go back
in its entirety? Okay.
Yeah.
So our goalkeeper is Luton Town's Josh Keighley. He's appeared in the team eight times since the start of the season. Our left back is Cardiff City's Joel Bagan. He's had 7 appearances. Evan Weir's been a stalwart at Walsall in League 2. He's got 11 appearances in the team and he's at centre half. Alongside him is Boston Lowell. He's had 7 appearances in the team of the weeks, playing for Stoke City, of course. Mark Sykes is a right back. Only appeared 3 times, but right back not a position of great depth, as we've come to learn since starting this series. Our midfield 3, we've got Bristol City's Jason Knight, who's had 6 appearances in the team. Alongside him is a fellow championship player in Connor Coventry, also with 6 appearances. And Finn Azaz is just in front of them. The Southampton man has appeared 7 times over the last couple of months. And our front 3 sees Aaron Connolly of Leighton Orient on the left.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 4 appearances in the team. Aaron Drinan has featured 6 times playing, or Aaron Drinan, I should say, has featured 6 times in the Green Scene team of the week. He is up front with Mikey Johnson on the right hand side, having 8.
Right.
Featured 8 times.
Has he
over
played?
The course of the
has
season.
He started 8 games?
Well, it's I don't is have it? To hand exactly how many games he started, but I will say he has coincidentally played quite well coming off the bench at times for West Brom too. Totally the reason why he's in the
team. Harder to get out of your team than it is to get in it. Teams.
But that was at the start of the season for sure. I don't know where you want to go. Will we go from back to front?
Or
where would you like to go?
Like, You've got some honourable mentions, right, that you should just tell us. So honourable mentions are essentially your bench, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like I was toying, but I didn't really have enough space on the graphic to put an actual bench in, but I was toying with the idea of a bench. So our bench, I suppose, like defensively wise, Ryan Manning's having a fantastic season. He's been in this, he's featured three times.
I know you love yourself some Joel Began, but Ryan Manning not being in your team, given the form he's in and the quality he offers.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, it comes back to the original bit of consternation. The first bit of consternation we had on this segment with the stipulation as to having X amount of Championship, X amount of League One and X amount of League Two players. Like Joe Began has been the best left-back in League One and has been one of the higher performing players, Irish players in general. It just is a bit of a coincidence and a sorry coincidence that Ryan Manning has also been performing so well at left-back too. But I do agree, he's very unfortunate to miss out. And I suppose on the balance of it, if we didn't have this kind of...
Ryan Manning's going to boycott this show because he can't get in this team. That's what's going
to
happen.
But to be fair, I was surprised to see he was only in three times. Three does seem low. But I will say though, at the start of the season when Joe Began was playing very well for Cardiff, Ryan Manning wasn't starting for Southampton. And as I said, this is based off of the 14 team of the weeks he put together. And under Will Still, Ryan Manning was in and out.
Yeah, no. He has probably scored more worldly free kicks than he has made appearances in green team, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Two things there. I do appreciate your surprise at your own selections there.
It's less surprise and more...
dumbfounded.
I feel like a little... No, that would be an extension of surprise, I would say. But no, I think it's more of a recency sort of thing. I don't want to kind of go muddled all over the place and move away from honourable mentions or anything, but I didn't think Jason Knight had made six appearances in the team. So I did a bit of digging. Mm. And Jason Knight was actually in the first six teams.
Right.
So he was in each of the first six. And then he got injured and he's only been back a couple of weeks. So he kind of had just fallen off the radar a little bit.
Yeah,
so that
was
where that element of surprise came from.
The reason I say a few things was that was the first element of surprise dumbfoundment, or however you want to describe it. And then the next was the fact that Ryan Manning may be our best option on the left side for the Republic of Ireland, and we're currently in a feel-good factor about the national side.
Mm.
And yet he's not in this side.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, is that a statement of... great approval of the future of Irish football, that one of our better players can't make your 11?
I think that would be a very positive way to look at things. I do think it is just as simple as us having two players playing in two different leagues and being two of the best players in those positions in each of those leagues.
Mm.
And Joe Began has just been in the team more often than Ryan Manning has, particularly at the start of the season. And that's why Joel Began is there. But if you were to pick it kind of outside of the data, which is why you don't always trust the data, you know, you probably would put Ryan Manning in there because he's playing at a higher level.
Joel Began a few weeks ago played Chelsea in the League Cup quarterfinal.
Very impressive. Looked
played
right
really
at home.
Well.
Yeah.
So like the ceiling is quite high up there.
And I think I'm right in saying that his contract is actually up at the end of the season with Cardiff. Now I'd be very surprised considering how well they're playing and how well he's playing and how much he's playing if he didn't sign an extension with them. And perhaps he might have done already. January would be the time for that to happen if teams can approach for a pre-contract type situation. But I'd be surprised if he didn't hang around. And as you mentioned on one of the previous episodes, sure, about having as many players as we can in the Championship. Ideally, he will be there next season too.
Yeah,
and then we'll really be able to see if he's better than Ryan Manning.
That's why he might hold off signing a contract, given his form is so good.
Mm.
That actually wait and see what the offers are at the end of the season, and then
definitely possible.
Yeah,
definitely possible. Where do you want to go next? We fly through the rest of the honourable mentions. So just one more in the defence. Paddy O'Connor's featured three times. Obviously, we would have been talking an awful lot about Noel Hunt at Reading at the start of the season. Obviously, he's no longer there. But Paddy O'Connor was one of the better defenders in League One last year playing for Lincoln. And he was out pretty much the entirety of Noel Hunt's kind of stint at the start of this season after signing for Reading. And then, obviously, just after Noel Hunt had left, Paddy O'Connor was back to full fitness in the games that followed and has been very impressive, and they've really turned the corner under Liam Richardson. So he's featured three times in our teams, and of course Noel Hunt would be ruining the fact that Paddy O'Connor wasn't fit when he joined the club. So there's our two kind of honourable mentions in the defence. The midfield is where we've kind of we've seen, I don't know if I would say the most variety in players, but we've kind of had a batch of seven or eight players that kind of rotate a little bit more around. And of course, the appearances are a little bit higher for our midfielders due to the fact that most weeks you'll have a three. Some mm-hmm. weeks you'd have a four if we were playing narrow, you know, with a DM and two eights and a 10. But the honourable mentions here, obviously Luke O'Connell is the heart of everything good for Barnsley. He's been in five times. Gavin Kilkenny, who we speak about quite often, he's been in four times, obviously playing for Swindon. And Alan Brown's had a good start to life the first couple of months of his loan spell with Middlesbrough. He's also featured four times. And then in recent weeks, we've had Alex Gilbert in. Mm-hmm. And I think there actually might have been a stint midway through the season where we had Gavin Kilkenny, Conor Coventry and Jason Knight in for 3 or 4 weeks straight. So they built up a nice little bit of a green scene connection there, yeah. And they held the fort down for a little while. But those are honourable mentions in the midfield. It would be rude not to give them a shout out. And obviously, I've gone through our front three. Two honourable mentions there. Ollie O'Neill started the season really well and managed to get in four times early on in the year and then picked up a bad enough injury himself. Mm-hmm. He actually was at the heart of some of the rule changes that we made when we were doing this team of the week when I left him in. One of the weeks after he hadn't played, because I just felt his form was that good that he didn't warrant being taken out of the side. But we obviously established then that, you know, if that team was to play a game, Ollie O'Neill of course wouldn't have been available, so that rule was thrown in the bin. And Ollie O'Neill, I don't think he's featured since, maybe once since he has, but he's had four appearances, so absolutely worth mentioning. The same amount of appearances as Aaron Connolly, coincidentally, so it did come down to my preference there, and I decided Aaron Connolly had a better season so far than Ollie O'Neill has had. But if we were to apply the injured rule, yeah, which we're not, because this is a team of the season so far, okay, and not yes. a...
So this won't count when you're doing your stats and your Excel sheet at the end. This team is like this is a special glorious isolation.
Of course, this is a landmark. This is a Christmas edition.
You're doing great work on behalf of Aaron Connolly. You could be part of his PR team, because I think Irish football fandom, a lot of which had made up their mind about Aaron Connolly, right? But you're reminding us regularly here in the first half of the season that the guy is doing well. Maybe not everyone realises it.
No, well, that's the thing. And maybe that's a good thing, that he did kind of step out of the limelight and actually found a club where I don't know if it valued is the right word. He did have a decent stint at Hull a couple of years ago, but under Richie Wellens, there was a lot of different circumstances that came together that maybe is the reason as to why that move worked out. Leighton Orient had a good season last year and lost a couple of their kind of main men in terms of scoring goals and assists and getting involved and playing minutes. And they have a good manager there in Richie Wellens also, with a lot of Irish contingent there. We've Tyrod Aramola there, we've Ollie O'Neill, as you mentioned, Jack Morehouse is there too. So there's a lot of things there that maybe are the reason as to why that move has worked out for him. But I mean, he's picked up a Player of the Month award in November there. He's obviously, I should probably have mentioned this when I started talking about him, that he's going to be out for a couple of months.
So he won't be on the team this season?
So he won't, unless he comes back and hits the ground running and Leighton Orient get promoted. But this might be, this will be the last we hear about Aaron Connolly for a while anyway, unless of course we can manage to get him on, which would be great, because I'm sure he's got some fascinating stuff to talk about. But yeah, it's great to see him doing so well, and as I kind of mentioned regularly, it would be nice if he did manage to nail down a kind of long term home, I suppose, because maybe that's not something that he's had for quite some time.
No, absolutely not.
And we just have one more honourable mention in the attack, and then we can fly through the rest of the players too. I think it's just with the nature of being in a team of the season, I think everyone's worth a couple more words than they'd get each week. But Jays KB is another mention. Obviously, he's been on the show with us. It's his first season in the AFL and he's taken to it pretty well. He had that massive, obviously, win against Manchester United in the AFL Cup, and the goals have dried up slightly over the last kind of couple of weeks, but that's kind of natural with the amount of games that you're playing. You're going to have peaks and troughs, and he's featured three times, a lot of those coming early on in the season, and one off the back of an FA Cup round of fixtures.
Very good.
Yeah, so we can run through the team now. We can give everyone a couple of minutes, and if there's anyone you want to stop and focus on for a little bit of time,
okay,
I'm happy to do so.
What is Began's ceiling?
Began's ceiling? Well, it's hard to know. He's only young. He's 23,
he's
24.
Young, yeah. What can you envision?
I can envision him being in the championship with Cardiff and not being a player that they look to improve on. I think if they get promoted, he'll be a player who plays as much as he possibly can. And then it's hard to know how a player is going to adapt to the championship. Joe Began has been in the championship before with Cardiff, but in a Cardiff team that was not under, is a cloud the right word? I'm not sure, but was a lot of kind of moving parts, I suppose, with different managers and certain players on high wages, players coming and going, and managers coming and going also, as I mentioned. So it'd be nice to see how he would get on in a settled team, in a settled environment, with a club on an upward trajectory as opposed to a downward trajectory, which Cardiff have been on over the last kind of couple of years. Mm. Relegation was something that had been coming. I'm not avoiding the question. I don't know how well he'd be doing. I don't like to kind of put too much pressure on lads either. But I mean, watching the other week against Chelsea, I mean, that's good reading, you know.
It's,
I know,
more, it's a one-off performance, from what you've seen of him already.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Who knows is too right. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's one aspect of your defence. The other is Bas Sanuel. What's going to happen first? Bas Sanuel finds a definitive position, or he's a regular in the Republic of Ireland senior team?
Senior team or senior squad?
Team.
Team. I think he will have to find a position before he's a regular in the team. I don't think he will have to find a position to be a regular in the squad.
So the position looks most likely to be centre-half. That is going to be his one. That's what he's been told by coaches.
Well, that's what he said himself, yeah. And I would have been in total agreement if this conversation was happening just before he had gotten injured, because he was playing so well at centre-half. But since he's returned, obviously he was out for a long time. I think he got that injury before the second window of the World Cup qualifiers as opposed to the last. Mm. And since he's returned, he has picked up a lot more minutes in midfield. Now, what he had been doing at the start of the season is playing an hour at centre-half. And
A half an hour in midfield.
The change just centre-half would come on. And obviously, they've built up a couple of other partnerships while he was out. And he's been getting a couple of minutes in the midfield alongside Stephen and Zonzi.
So we could do with him specialising in midfield?
It would, in the best case scenario, would be Bas Sanuel doing what he was doing at centre-half for Stoke in midfield for the rest of the time, maybe not with Stoke, but with a team in the Premier League or whatever.
Or doing what he's doing for the last half hour of games.
Well, it'll be no harm to keep it in his locker, but I think sometimes, as good as it is to be versatile, there is a world where your versatility can be to your detriment. And I don't think that will be the case with him because of how talented he is. But from an Ireland view, obviously midfield is where we're lacking.
That's it.
So that's where we want him. But I would say, from what I've seen of him, he's played a few minutes at right back as well. From what I've seen of him this season, which, again, there's a bigger data set with him playing at centre half in the Championship because that's where he's been playing. But he's exceptional in that position.
Everything we're talking about here is from what I've seen of him, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder, is Lowell a good enough centre half to be a viable partner for, say, Nathan Collins is the shoo-in as captain. He's going to play. Yeah. He's going to start for Ireland.
Yeah.
But other than that, are we absolutely dead set at the back? Dar O'Shea feels like a stalwart of the Irish defence. He will play.
That's the thing, yeah. And Jacob Ryan is your third.
Liam Scales is another option.
Yeah, but Liam Scales is left-footed, so that gives him that bit of extra kind of leeway to be in a team.
And Andrew Omobamadeli still has to come back into the picture.
Of course, and I'm sure he will. And I'm always quick to say that Omobamadeli, if he can stay fit, has all the tools to be one of, if not our best.
Totally.
Our best defender.
And then John Egan's brought on away to Portugal.
Yeah, John Egan, yeah, exactly. And who is
crucial interception as well to prevent the Portuguese goal.
In Dublin there not long ago, brought his whole City teammates over for a bit of a pub crawl around Dublin. Yeah, there you go.
It's good for camaraderie.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he's absolutely good enough. He's absolutely good enough and could, without doubt, hold his own in that Ireland team. But it's just the fact that our centre halves are so. Not that he's particularly worse than Dar O'Shea. He could be as good. Obviously, Dar O'Shea is far more experienced at a higher level.
Yeah.
But he could be as good, if not better, than Dar O'Shea. But we're not going to see that immediately.
In this weird phase at the moment about the Republic of Ireland, right? And how we talk about the football team. Up until that last window, that historic window against Portugal and Hungary, we talk about we're in the doldrums here. This is the worst Irish group of players in living memory.
Yeah.
And then we see in the green scene every single week was like, geez, there's a lot of things to be excited about at a certain level.
This was the thing, and I remember saying, I might have been the very first week we did this, that anecdotally watching a lot of our midfielders at the time, which obviously Josh Cullen in the Premier League, and we had Jason Malumbi, who wasn't actually in the first Ireland squad, but had actually been playing reasonably well for West Brom, and Jason Knight while he was fit, along with Conor Coventry, who had been playing consistently in the Championship for the first time. And things for their clubs it just anecdotally seemed as though that they were a lot more comfortable on the ball. They were playing the passes that we weren't used to seeing them play. And then they obviously came and played for Ireland and that all went out the window initially. But we did see kind of little bits of that too when we went and played obviously Portugal and Dublin and I suppose the second half of the Hungary game against 10 men, we maybe saw a little bit of it as well. But there has been a lot of good things happening amongst some not so good things. I mean, like Finazaz had started the season, was out injured initially, a couple of minutes for Middlesbrough before he moved to Southampton and started life terribly under Will Still. Only the couple of weeks prior to the final window did he pick up a bit of form. So it's amazing as well, we've referenced this before, that off the back of what happened against Portugal and against Hungary and the fact that we're into the playoffs now, the interest that I feel the general kind of football fan, I suppose, casual football fan would have in how our guys are getting on has, like, they would not, nobody would care. Nobody would care now if Troy Parrott hadn't scored that goal against Hungary. It would be like, okay, Grant, how are they getting on? Fine. Troy Parrott's still flying. That's great. Evan Ferguson, he's getting a few minutes. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. He'll probably go back to Brighton at the end of the season. He'll go out on loan. It doesn't really matter because now all we're worrying about is the Euros. Whereas now it's like, okay, wait, I want to see every minute of how X, Y, and Z is getting on. Is Omar Bamadele playing in France? Is Finazaz still playing well? Is Ryan Manning? Even the interest in our managers. Obviously, the tie against Chelsea brought a lot more kind of eyes to Brian Barry Murphy, but people are looking, okay, Brian Murphy, I'll sit down and watch that. Have they got any Irish lads playing? Oh, they do. Callum Robinson, oh, I remember him. You know, that kind of thing. There's just more of a warmth? I don't know if it's a warmth is the right word, but there's just the interest.
Rising tide.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah, and it's carrying a few people with it, for sure.
On your midfield, right, I don't really have anything to say about the aforementioned Finazaz, right? RJ is the knight. I kind of have no further questions about them.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Know what you're getting.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but it's the truth. Mm. Now, Conor Coventry, I do, right? So is Conor Coventry, and I suppose, what's the theme of this half season so far of the green scene? Most questions I'm asking, most of them, are in relation, eventually,
to the midfield.
To the midfield problem that the national team have. Mm. And in steps Conor Coventry. So what are we talking here?
Yeah, well, I mean, Conor Coventry, like, would have been touted. I think he's our most capped player. We spoke about this before as well with the under-21s. So he has a bit of pedigree there within the national team. And obviously he's picked up a couple of caps since. But I never really, in a similar kind of, without the off-the-pitch kind of stuff to Aaron Connolly, never really found a home. Like, was that West Ham and hung around there? West Ham lad, like, that was his club. And obviously he had dreams of making it there. He spoke about that on the evening show not long after. Not long after the Hungary game. But he was at Charlton last year and was excellent for them in League One. But the question you always have, when a player steps up from the Championship to League One, or from the Championship to the Premier League, the same thing can be asked about a player stepping up from League One to the Championship. Now, Conor Coventry would have been viewed as a player who, regardless of anything, would be able to cut it in the Championship. And they started the season exceptionally well. I mean, Nathan Jones is their manager. People who are familiar with him obviously had a not-so-great stint with Southampton and... it was a bit of a unique character, but he stepped up to the Championship. Conor Coventry was excellent the first couple of weeks. Charlton were excellent, were incredibly tough to beat at home. Their form has tailed off a little bit. Now, I wouldn't say that's as a direct result of Conor Coventry. He does change up the system a little bit and he does get a bit isolated in midfield every now and then, but he's a very important role in that team. He started almost every game. I think one game he didn't start, and ended up coming on for the guts of 40 minutes, I think, even still. So I don't know. Is he the answer to our problems? I'm not sure. He's not. No. It's not like he's a kid either. He's in his mid-20s.
25. Just go.
Yeah. He's 25. So I'm not sure he's the answer to all of our problems, but he's an option. Like, I wouldn't say that Conor Coventry is considerably better than Jason Knight or Jason Malumbi, but I would say he's more naturally comfortable on a football, at least in the Championship, because Jason Knight is also will be widely regarded in England by fans of other clubs and analysts, commentators, whoever you might see on Sky of a weekend, as Jason Knight being one of the best midfielders, if not the best, in the Championship. And then he comes and plays for us and people would question if my glasses are strong enough, you know?
Well, I suppose it just does emphasise the differences in standard, but we're working on what we have here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think your point about the caps, you never want to be the most capped under 21. He is the most capped. He's on 28. Leo Connor has 26. Gavin Kilkenny is 19. I'm just looking at the records here. Ryan Maher has 15. Tyreek Wright has 15.
Yeah.
The really top players don't rank up.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Under
it's
21s.
A good point.
They all get plucked straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is very true.
Yeah, and some of the players you mentioned there as well, just since you mentioned, Leo Connor's having a decent season with Tranmere. Obviously, Joe Murphy, they get a bit of a mention because our veteran keeper, who also should get a mention, I suppose, for the day that's in it. And Tyreek Wright as well is playing week in, week out for Bradford, who only got promoted from League Two and are now up challenging Brian Barry Murphy's Cardiff to automatic promotion anyway for the time being. It's obviously still very early. So, you know, it's not linear either, is the other thing. And no, and players can get caught up too. Do you know, you can be playing a lot. You could be, I think Tyrie Wright was at Aston Villa, was he? For a good while he's playing 21s and was out on loan moves, 6 month deals here, going to Plymouth and all this sort of stuff. And eventually you get 23, 24 and things might click for you, you know, which is the hope for all of these guys that we talk about.
Now, among the forwards, right? Aaron Connolly in your team.
Yeah.
Can't help but be happy for him.
Of course.
But he's probably the exception to my regular question about the national team. Because does it really matter with Aaron Connolly when it comes to the Republic of Ireland? Are we still looking for him? Because we have options up front.
That's an interesting question. I don't know if I would say that we're looking for him. Well, we're not looking for him.
But are we looking for... I'll reword it for you.
Yeah.
Are we looking for that version of Connolly that we got so excited about?
Yeah, well, this version of Connolly is slightly different. I mean, he's playing on the left-hand side majority of the time for Leighton Orient, hence the position in the graphic there. Reminiscent, I suppose, of the first thing you think about Aaron Connolly is those goals against Spurs, cutting in and whipping it at the bottom corner. But
quite literally.
Yeah, exactly. But I think while he's in League One, there's probably no need to be thinking... I know I have mentioned it a couple of times, but purely through the lens of... We haven't qualified for a World Cup. We haven't qualified for Euros in so long.
Yeah.
He might look at that and go, Portsmouth are struggling a little bit in the Championship. I'll jump up there. Maybe I'll bag a few goals. I'm doing better in a better league. Portsmouth stay up. I'll be back in the squad. Because the pedigree's there, you know. I think while he's in League One, it's best to leave him doing what he's doing and let him, and not really look at it through the lens of Republic of Ireland and just say, this is a guy who's doing really well in League One. Let's see what happens. And I know that's the case with everyone, of course. I basically said the same thing for Joe Bagan. But... Aaron Connolly's situation is a little bit kind of, there's a world where he gets a big move in the context of moving from Leighton Orient to Hull, for example, back to Hull or Millwall or whoever it might be. There's a world where that happens. And when that happens, that's then when we go, what's he doing now? Whereas in this situation, I think it's obviously still great to be playing so well for a team like Leighton Orient, but we don't tend to recruit from League One in any way, really. The odd time we get the odd couple of players.
He is very different to what we have.
He does, to a point, I suppose, yeah.
You know, so say he's playing Championship in 2 years' time.
Of course, of
having
course.
Put together seasons of goals.
Of course. It goes back to your point about wanting players in the Championship. Anyone playing in the Championship is absolutely viable to be playing for Ireland, without a doubt. That's not a hot take. He would have to be doing exceptional stuff in League One, which he kind of was. But if he was to have stayed fit and kept doing that and was up around 24, 25 goals come towards March, then I mean, like, that you can't ignore that. That's not going to happen, obviously, with his injury.
If you could pick one from your half season starting 11 that you'd be most excited with going to the Premier League, who would it be?
Going to the Premier League, most excited with, and I'll answer the question. I think I would be most excited to see how Abbas and Lawal would fare in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He's a centre half, so you can only be so excited. But I would also be very intrigued, which I can see happening, to see how Finn Zaz might adapt to the Premier League.
Or Jason Knight.
Jason Knight's one of them players.
I think Jason Knight in a good team.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. He was linked with Everton during the summer, like, and a move like that for a team where you're like a James Garner. Do you know that sort of kind of player that's just?
Yeah,
I know Garner's playing a right back a little bit, but just a. A Duracell pony in the nicest way possible, you know?
Jason Knight, I like to see what he's like in a good team. But what's the appetite for that? That's the problem, isn't it?
But that's kind of what I was saying with Lawal, in the sense I'd be excited to see how he get on, but he's a centre-half, so you can only kind of get so excited to watch a centre-half. The same thing with Jason Knight, he's not going to be playing intricate passes and stitching shots in the top corner.
My point more is, what manager in the Premier League is thinking that about Jason Knight? I'd like to see how he'd do with us, you know? That would be. I'd love to know that.
One of the promoted teams could do a lot worse.
See, that's the thing. That is
the route that these things tend to go.
Ultimately, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down.
Yeah.
And it's the same. We have midfielders in that mould and have had.
Yeah.
All the way back to the last 20 years, really.
Mm.
This is putting you on the spot now. My next question is: out of everyone that's featured in the Green Scene so far this season, who do you want to see more of? Like, as in. Fulfilling more of their potential.
So who's not been, who would I have expected more from at the start of the season?
Yeah, yeah. Who would you
oh, that is
more
a tough
from?
One. Well, I can answer
must
that.
Must do better.
I can answer that in two ways. There's someone I absolutely want to see more from, and I've actually been fully just bought into this kind of narrative, is Alex Gilbert of Middlesbrough. I'm fascinated to see how that kind of turns out.
I think
whether
he's got
that's
two
a flash
appearances,
in the pan.
Two in a row.
Yeah, he's been in. He's been in both weeks since he started playing.
Yeah.
He's been excellent in the six for Middlesbrough, and that's, again, back to our midfield issues. This is a total rogue that no one would have been on anyone's radar, bar, of course, Middlesbrough's new manager. So I'll be fascinated to see what happens there. In terms of players, I would have liked and seen a little bit more from. Initially, you're kind of drawn to thinking about attackers.
Casey McAteer.
There's a lot of excitement.
That's a great shout. The move really hasn't worked out for him, obviously, with the way that went.
He's still only 24 as well.
He is, and that move kind of was, there was a bit of a kind of domino effect there with Ogbene leaving Ipswich to go to Sheffield United, who's had a decent start to life there. It's been okay. And Kip McAteer then in turn joining Ipswich as his replacement. But he's joined as his replacement and not really played a whole lot. That's a good shout. I'd be happy enough to get on board with that one. Anyone else I would have been expecting to kick on? I mean, Mikey Johnson, and we haven't really mentioned him here. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been in the team 8 times. I know you were kind of a little bit surprised, but as was I. But Mikey Johnson is, I hate the term luxury player. Right? I hate the term luxury player because it insinuates, you know what it insinuates about a player not kind of doing the basics. Mikey Johnson maybe doesn't do the basics to the highest level, but he's got something, like. And even in the games this season, I've ended up watching a little bit of West Brom, just purely with Malumbi playing there as well. They're kind of a team with a couple of Irish links. And even in the games where he's not contributing directly, 2 goals and 2 assists, he's still offering something. He's a threat. He occupies defenders. You know, you're going to throw all the cliches out. He just has that bit of something. And we don't I was amazed he didn't come on against, what was the game before? Even in the last Hunger game, I was amazed that he didn't get a run. Now, obviously, the Portugal game away was kind of, people directed a bit of criticism at him for not closing down the cross, but he doesn't really fit into the system that Hamer has, which is kind of mad to think when he's one of our higher performing players week in, week out, at probably, like, I mean, the highest level outside of the Premier League that we have. So I don't know if I'd like to see more from him, but I just think it's an interesting sort of situation that's going on there, that kind of one of our more talented players doesn't really get a look in.
We're still coming to the terms that he didn't go to Brazil.
Yeah, I'm telling you now.
What's the Palmeiras?
Flamengo, I believe.
Flamengo.
But it's amazing. Anytime, I urge anyone who's listening, if there's one thing you can take away from this team of the season so far, anytime you get a notification, if you've West Brom on your notifications for whatever reason, or if I tell you to put them on a week, and you see Mikey Johnson has contributed to a goal, give it about 5 or 10 minutes and go on to X or whatever your platform of choice is and type in Mikey Johnson's name and spend about 20 minutes scrolling through the latest kind of post that features his name, and you will have the time of your life looking at all the Flamengo fans ranting and raving about why they should have signed him and why it was such a mistake that they let him go. And all the players are in Portuguese, so you have to get that dodgy kind of C translation. And
does he get into the Irish team more if he plays well at West Brom or plays well in Brazil? Because if he plays well in Brazil,
it's interesting. I don't think there's really a level. I see, this is the thing, right? I think if Mikey Johnson's end product was any way better, he wouldn't be playing for West Brom. He'd be playing at a much higher level because he has everything else. He can beat his man for fun and all that sort of stuff, but his end product just isn't quite there. His decision making is a little bit off. I think that end product would have to increase tenfold for Hamer to change it in the way in which we set up to get Mikey Johnson in there. So I don't really think it would matter whether he's playing for West Brom or he's playing for Flamengo, because he's going to be in the squads anyway. I think he should be.
I actually think he could be a great sub for a good team.
Yeah.
That second half, defences are stretched.
I always wonder what
15 to 20 minutes.
With Mikey, does he look like he's doing more than he actually is? Because he's so busy and he's such a low centre of gravity
busy,
and his leg has gone 90.
It's a good, it's an interesting point. Like, yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people would be very much in agreement with that. That he just kind of.
No, but I like him though. He does energise me as a viewer when he comes out, because he's different.
Listen to the thing, we were talking about this with Alan Brown not long ago.
Yeah.
The way kind of people perceive him as, oh, Alan Brown's coming out, that's grand. You know, whatever. You know, he's a serviceable player. I wouldn't be of that opinion. I can care.
Well, we were chatting about this recently on Off Ball Breakfast. Yeah.
And
he's been great for Ireland.
And I think the opposite can be said for Mikey Johnson. People seeing him on, they're like, oh, Oh, there could be something happening here, you know.
My last question. Who's the ideal manager for this half-season team?
That goes without saying, Brian Barry Murphy. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to go Dino, friend of the show.
Dino's had a good start, and he's obviously we love his post-match interviews are always very interesting. But no, it's Brian Barry Murphy without a doubt. Like, and we've waxed lyrical about him over the last couple of weeks because he's been in the news. But the job he's doing there, I don't want to go over trotty ground once again. But the job he's doing there is nothing short of excellent. And I'll hold my hands up and say, when he got announced as the manager of Cardiff, I wasn't all that hopeful, in the sense that there was a lot. They kind of had a lot of players there, as I've alluded to earlier on, that didn't want to be there and were taking up wages. And I kind of felt as though there wouldn't be a world where they were able to bring in the players that he might want to bring in. But it turns out that they've just got this bunch of academy players who obviously had been working in a system that had been Premier League when those guys were 10, 12, 13, 14, a Premier League academy. And suddenly now, 5 years later, Cardiff are down in League One, and these guys are far above the level required to be competitive in League One. And he's got the best out of these players. And yeah, look, it's not going to be smooth the whole way through to the end of the season. They've had little off results. I mean, they lost 1-0 at home to Burton in a midweek game earlier on, I think November, October time. So it's not going to be smooth sailing. It never is. You're not going to win every game, but they'll be thereabouts. So I think at this halfway stage of the season, it would be crazy to have anyone else in. Although Conor Howard did pick up the manager of the month in that same league for November. So
fair play, because he's at a much earlier stage of his career to be hitting the ground running.
Sure.
That's great.
For sure. I just will end off just by saying that Evan Weir, we didn't really spend too much time on him. He's been in the team for 11 consecutive weeks.
Wow.
11 consecutive weeks.
Underrated. Mr. Consistent.
And he's got all the tools to be whatever he wants really there. He's exceptional. And he's scoring goals from set pieces like Ryan Manning. Nice. He's getting assists from play. And Walsall are right up there. A team who absolutely capitulated last season in their bid for promotion. They're going again in League Two, and they've sort of picked up where they left off. They're at a similar stage now that they were last season. So hopefully we're coming back in 6 months' time to do a similar sort of piece.
He's 23 as well, so he's time for him to.
Yeah, for sure, and he's fairly versatile as well.
You wanted to ask the question about our wild geese and where they'll be.
We've done this before, and I'm sure it's a question on everyone's lips. We won't go as far into this time next year, but we'll go like towards the end of January. Are we saying Troy Parrott is still going to be at AZ, and are we saying that Evan Ferguson is still going to be playing his trade in Rome?
I think it's the right thing for both of them to do. Unless Brighton call him back, I think he should stay there, fight for his place, go through the experience. There's definitely been a softening from the manager in his comments, which is good. You know,
there seems to be a bit more of an acceptance that possibly that might have been a tough love situation.
Or maybe it's whiplash, Gasperini to Ferguson that Cabby Mania was talking about with Ruben Amorim. I would like both of them as well to stay in Central Europe, mainland Europe, get away. Because I think ultimately, if they both play in the Premier League, it'll almost certainly be with a team that don't have huge ambitions of winning trophies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that we're going to get an awful lot out of them then. Because people make the argument that you play against tougher defences and tougher teams. Yeah, but confidence is huge for strikers. And if they're enjoying life in mainland Europe, stay there.
Especially coming into the...
We don't need them to play at the top level of the Premier League from the Irish perspective either.
No.
If they're enjoying
the
themselves.
Thing. Yeah, we just hope that he can. But
just
it's
come
not,
and play. Yeah.
It's not a necessity. Yeah, no, I'd be with you on that. I think... I do think there is... I wouldn't maybe go as far as 50-50. I'd maybe go... a little bit leaning towards him staying at Roma, but I do think there still is a significant chance that he does get that recall from Brighton. I actually just dawned on me there when we mentioned Brighton, when you mentioned about someone I would have liked to see a little bit more of over the last couple of months. Obviously, this is just an EFL exclusive rolling team of the week, but obviously on the show, typically we'll do our guys who are abroad, further abroad as well, over in Europe. Andy Moran's loan move to LA was really... I didn't expect anything exceptional to come from it, obviously, but just with the circumstances in which he went over there, playing for a team who were coming into the crunch part of the season, and I imagine was viewed as this could be the X factor to get us over the line.
Yeah.
And he went over there kind of, I was hoping and anticipating he would play as a 10. He didn't really play as a 10. He spent a lot of his time out on the wing, coming off the bench. You could get a couple of a goal and assist. I think maybe had a goal and an assist over his time there, and it got kind of season got not cut short, but they went out. They didn't get right to the end of the MLS playoffs, and he's I've seen pictures of him during over the last couple of weeks of him back training with Brighton, right, which is grand because he's training, obviously, but he has to train because he's his club. But he's been out of action, hasn't played for, I mean, by the time January rolls round, it'll be seven or eight weeks since he's played. So that's really disappointing. But I'd be fascinated to see what happens with him in the in January, because I can't imagine he'll be at Brighton, but maybe he will. Maybe he will.
All right. Plenty to look forward to, second half of the season.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Roll on March.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. That's how we started. It's how we finish. Another green team in the books.
The Green Scene.
What's his name again?
With Matthew Brennan.
On Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show. Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Northern Ireland hadn't seen a gold medal for 52 years and then four come along at once, and all from different, like Ireland and Great Britain. I think that's really cool.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.